Good evening. Welcome to Taizé. We're glad you're here tonight. I'm glad to be back. It's going to be a good service tonight. Let's open in prayer, shall we? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise, and we're glad to be here tonight to worship you. We pray that you would open our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and that your presence would abound in this place, that we'd be able to hear your still small voice and receive the blessing of a message tonight. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
We invite you to be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
During this next silence, allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase from the second reading of the text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace.
During this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler as you're able to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even now, for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of our text tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For me, I have been stuck on this part of the passage where it says, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, though perishable, is tested by fire, though perishable. And I can't help but think of the authenticity of the author's writing. It's not that the faith is being tested, but the genuineness of faith. And the author, Peter, you know, if you remember the story, Peter is bold enough to say, Jesus, I will follow you anywhere, even to the point of death. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, oh gosh, I love your spirit, Peter, but truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, that's it, you will deny me three times. And we see the genuineness of Peter's faith in the fact that he did deny Jesus three times. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, but the actor that portrays Peter does a remarkable job of that moment when he realizes that he couldn't live up to what he offered Jesus, but actually did what Jesus said he was going to do and denied him three times, coming to terms with and grips with that realization and being torn apart to the point of tears, knowing that the genuineness of his faith was tested and he did not pass it, but Jesus knew his heart. And I think about the correlation between our faith being tested and what the writer says, tested, it's pure as it's like gold. You know, when gold comes out of the mountain, it doesn't come out of the mountain pure. It has to be put to the fire and purified, and all the impurities rise up and they're actually skimmed off, and even some of the purest gold is not 100% pure. It's only 99 point whatever. It still has some impurity, and the hope is that no matter what testing we go through in life, that our that purity, that deepness of that richness of our faith is what doesn't get skimmed off. It's what stays with us. So I just came back from vacation, and we flew into Vegas, and then went to the Grand Canyon, and then came back. And we're in the Vegas airport, and like everybody that knows that I went on vacation, they've always all come up and asked me, how was it? So I've gone through the whole spiel, and it was just amazing. And there was only one person that asked me so far, so did you gamble? And by discipline, as an ordained elder, or even a licensed local pastor, we can't. That we've made a covenant, and we just can't. And so I think it was a test. They were just asking me. Was that you, Rebecca, that asked me that today? And I could honestly say, no, I didn't. And then I think Felicia actually said, well, is it because you couldn't, or you didn't want to? And I found that to be a very interesting question, because I honestly didn't want to. Which, if you go back in time before Christ, before my life in Christ, I had what you would call an addictive gene in my DNA, whether it be drugs, alcohol, gambling, whatever. And there was a point where, like, my grandparents, they lived in Philadelphia, and they would always take the grandkids and teach them how to gamble. They'd give us $5 worth of nickels and take us to the casinos on the Jersey Shore, Atlantic City, and say, you know, if you're going to gamble, you only take what you're willing to give away or lose. And so nobody on that side of the family has a gambling problem. Well, I wasn't one of those grandkids that got that education. I would go back in the day and go to the casino, and, you know, I would take what I was willing to lose and then go hit the ATM and hit it again. And so there's an addictive nature, maybe in all of us, but it was certainly in me, and come to Christ, and that just went away. And Connie and Anthony, they went over to the newsstand to get a newspaper and some chocolate goodies and stuff, and so I had the perfect window of opportunity to stick a $20 bill on the slot machine if I wanted to. Nobody would have known. And I sat there and I thought, but I would know. And then if somebody would ask me, I would not be able to answer with integrity and say, no, I didn't gamble. And I thought, wow, you know, that sin nature is still deeply rooted in all of us. And so I just sat down and I began to people watch, and I saw a gentleman come over to the slot machine in front of me, and I don't know what he kind of money he put in, but it popped up that he had 1,200 credits and he was pressing max bet, and which max bet on that particular machine was 40 credits. And he dropped down below 700 and then started winning. And at one point, he was like over 3,000 credits. And I said, I actually said this out loud, but thankfully he didn't hear me. I says, "You need to walk away," you know. I just max bet. They finally called us for our flight, and I looked over, and he had hit the max bet for the last time. He had lost it all. And I think about what Peter writes is, we are going to go through trials, and I know that there's trials far greater than the calling of a slot machine. There's illness trials. There's, gosh, you name it, relationship trials, monetary trials, health trials. And Paul writes that we're going to have those. It's inevitable. And to hear, not Paul, but Peter, and to hear it from Peter, I just, it gives me hope, because he was a man of trials. He was a man of saying that he could, and he really couldn't. And so I don't know where you're at in this point of the journey, what trial you're going through, but know that the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that's not what is perishable. What's perishable is that genuineness, that joy. Sometimes we can allow that joy to be stolen because we have the trial that we're in the midst of that's trying to steal that joy. And that joy, that true joy, comes from what Jesus did on the cross. Not so much, or even more importantly, what he did after the cross, when he walked away from that grave, the resurrection. And so we come tonight with a new hope, a new understanding, and hopefully a regaining of that joy, even though we're going through the fires of the purification process, trusting that when Jesus took the bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, he was giving it to you, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. I have been tested. I have been tested and broken for the sake of making your faith as precious as gold." And then he took the cup, gave thanks and blessed it, said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we come praying that God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake, we become one with Christ and one with each other, and that we would gain strength and power and purity through the trials that we face. We pray for the strength to face those trials head on. We pray a shroud of protection that we would not lose the joy that is our salvation. Even though that is being saved for us like an inheritance in heaven. Help us, Lord, to hold on to that joy, hold on to that hope. And hold on to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a quick reminder that All are welcome to the table. We believe in the open table of the United Methodist Church. All are welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive the gift that God offers. And also, there's a basket at the end of the table if you'd like to place an offering in the basket and out of response for what God's love for you has done. I'd like to ask Tammy and Steve to come on up and serve tonight. And don't hesitate, because we got a full loaf, so be generous. The table is set. All are welcome. I am sure we do here. Yeah.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
The beauty of gold cannot be brought to its glory without a refiner's fire. And I think about that. And even in the purest gold that I've seen has only been 99.9 or 99.99. It's never been 100%. And I think about that as we go through life, as we continue to be refined, that the hope of this passage is in our death there will be a resurrection, and it won't be 99.9%, it'll be 100%. And that's something to hold on to. May you go from this place with the hope of Christ in your heart, able to face the refiner's fire. And may we all long to become 100% pure in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.